I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's going on, and happy Sunday or whatever day you decided to listen. You know, it is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the entire world. So that means it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Digital, home of First Black Champ podcast. Make sure you get that merch.
What's the percentage off?
I believe it is 10%. Yes, FBC 10.
Yeah, it's 10%, yes. Yeah.
And we will extend that. Week. You know, we had the December 4th joint. Yeah, it has been a very long week. I've only not worked day and night one time, so I'm officially Michael Jackson song, like, for real.
Hey, so look, man, we're going to go ahead and get that thing started, man. TLC is tonight, Sunday.
A lot, but not a lot, I'll say, going on with this pay-per-view. A lot because you have Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, Sasha Banks and Carmella, who that rivalry is growing immensely and looking real good. But I think there's some things that has kind of been underdeveloped, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, you have AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre that's happening tonight. And I don't feel like there's been a lot drawn to that match. You have Randy Orton versus The Fiend, which seems like it's been more to that has been pushed than it has been the title match. I really want to kick off the show with these predictions, so then we'll figure out if we got this wrong or not before we get this out the way.
Okay.
Just to make sure we got this wrong or not. So let me go ahead and pull up these matches. There is a tag team championship match that's going to go on tonight. Again, it's going to be the Hurt Business versus the New Day. So Black on Black Crime. Who you got this matchup? Because this has been bubbling. There's been title matches, Raw, which the New Day has won. But like Cedric Alexander had won one of the matches a couple of weeks ago and started celebrating kind of like how Kurt Angle would celebrate when he wins a match, or kind of how like just over celebrating. And the Hurt Business was looking at Buddy as like, we won, but fuck wrong with Buddy. Will the New Day lose tonight?
I think the New Day loses tonight. I think they're just officially OG status. I think they're officially greatest tag team of all time conversation status. I think they're officially Hall of Famer status as just the team themselves, even if they don't get in like individually. But I don't think that really matters like some people think it do, but it is what it is. So they're in, I think they're in to the pay it forward. I think they're into the pass the baton. I think they're into the pass the torch mode. And what they're doing now is making sure all the different Black folks get over on them so they can do their thing. That's what I think. So, I got Hurt Business tonight for sure.
Yeah, I think it's time for the Hurt Business to go ahead and hold another title. It's interesting to see the little bit of the subtle change with Cedric Alexander. Where is this going? How is this going to go? It was weird. And all the other three members of the Hurt Business was like, the hell going on here? So So that's interesting. I have the Hurt Business also. Moving on to Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they're going to be going up against Asuka and a woman to be named later. Lana, I'll say right now, I believe that Asuka will be taking home the tag team titles. But it just seems to me that all signs point to Charlotte Flair coming back tonight, which will go far to one of the things that I want to talk about a little bit later. I don't see Peyton Royce being Asuka's mystery partner. I don't see Ronda Rousey being Asuka's mystery partner. Yeah. I don't see none of these people. Charlotte Flair was out. She's been out for a while, and I think they need her to come back. I think it will go farther for another version of the Asuka-Charlotte Flair feud is them being tag team champions, almost like Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels when they became tag team champs. So I have Charlotte Flair coming back, and I have them winning the tag team champ.
Oh, wow. All right. I do agree with shit about Charlotte. This would also make it make sense for why it was it was highlighted that she was drafted to Raw without even being seen. However, I hate everything that's about rivals becoming tag team champions, so I'm picking Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Cause I hate that shit. I hate it. I don't like seeing it. There's not been one team that I have ever seen that were rivals that came to come together to be tag team champions that I liked. Maybe if this was all happening when I was like 6 through 9 years old, maybe I would like it. But I've been a grown man, or at least a forward thinking teenager, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like some of what we're talking about there, what we're talking about, like, well, what about the tag team champs right now? Shayna Baszler and Nia Jackson. I don't believe they did enough to warrant being true rivals.
Oh yeah, no, right. Yeah, no, that's way different. Like there is no Shayna Nia like 3. You know what I'm saying? Like they weren't built to be at WrestleMania, or you know what I'm saying? Like, no, it's really just two people with the same storyline on different brands coming together. Like Shayna Baszler was the most dominant on NXT. They were billing Nia Jax to be the most dominant on Raw, and they kind of met in the middle since Charlotte Flair was out. So yeah, no, it's not the same thing at all to me.
Moving on, we got Sasha Banks and Carmella for the Women's Championship, SmackDown Women's Championship. Kind of got a feeling where you're going with this, but where you going with this?
Hey, y'all know if Sasha lose, I riot. So Sasha fucking Banks. If I get like leather beat up some white girls to close out fucking 2020. Let's go.
I thought she was going to go differently because she is going up against a blonde white woman.
You're right. And I should, based on history. But I believe they let her be the white woman on SmackDown. So I'm guessing they are going to let this go at least to the Royal Rumble. Now, depending on the white woman she faces at the Royal Rumble, all bets are off. But I'm thinking she gonna close out at least beating 2 white women in 2020.
Okay, well, man, I'm going to go with the blonde white woman here. Because when Bayley beat her, and when she beat her, she was saying how she defended the title. This just the thing here is, title, she defended the title against Bayley. She didn't defend it against a blonde black white one.
Right, true.
That's the difference here. And the difference here is that. So I'm going with Carmella here. Just because.
Fair.
Of history, blonde white women. And Charlotte, and Sasha Banks at pay-per-views. Hey. That's right, the history, man. I didn't do it. Vince McMahon did it.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Yep, he definitely fucking did. So yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to give moral support for the holiday season to the woman that I believe is the best wrestler currently in the company. So, you know.
And probably top 2 in the company, male or female. The TLC Inferno match.
Whoa, what?
They're fighting around fire, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be Randy Orton versus The Fiend Inferno match. This is all because Randy Orton poured the fire, the gasoline over a box that he put Bray Wyatt in and lit it on fire. He watched it, and then the Fiend popped out that bitch and he gave him the mandible claw, which now leads to an Inferno match. I think this is an easy way for Randy Orton to get a win here because of the clothes that Bray wears as opposed to what Randy wears. So I have Randy Orton winning this Inferno match, culminating in what might have been his best year in the WWE. Some might say his rookie year, some might say other years, but I don't think Randy Orton had a better year than 2020. Who you got?
See, everything you said about Randy Orton is correct, right? Undoubtedly, and I agree. But I'm unsure if the Fiend's win-loss record matters. Like, I don't know if he's the attraction that's just there to create moments or if he's there to win and or lose. And we're in a – he has an opponent that he doesn't have to put over and also don't have to put over him. So I'm lost, man. I'm just going to say – I'm going to say Bray Wyatt to be different here, I guess, from you. Because with it being a TLC Inferno match, you know what? I want to go no contest. I want to go no contest. That's what I want to do. Because they got to make that make sense to me. Yeah, I'm going no contest.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to title matches. Drew McIntyre,
AJ Styles and his big black bodyguard.
AJ Styles is on his Shawn Michaels and Diesel thing, while Drew McIntyre is now the two-time champion. I guess this is sort of like the push to WrestleMania, I guess. This is almost like his WrestleMania push starting. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre here. I don't see Drew McIntyre losing this match. I don't see him losing the title until WrestleMania. So it's going to be a long two-time championship reign for Drew McIntyre. But I think this is going to kick off for him the road to WrestleMania with Rumble being the next pay-per-view. Who you got?
I got AJ Styles because, well, even though I missed everything last week, well, the last week and a half, matter of fact, because I missed like
you two ain't episodes missed
SmackDown,
shit.
I believe. That's what I kind of figured based on like the Instagram account. So I was like, I'll try to watch. And I tried to watch last night and fell asleep. But the reason why I am adamant on the AJ Styles piece, because it does seem like there is more billing around The Miz cashing in Money in the Bank than it is either of them being the champion. So, and since they are kind of pairing AJ up with Miz and Morrison, I mean, yeah, I got AJ Styles winning. And because it is easier for The Miz to cash in on AJ Styles. And also, I believe it's better for The Miz to go over on AJ Styles than it is Drew McIntyre, especially for today's generation of audience. Like, we are literally in the time where people don't remember that The Miz won the championship and he beat Randy Orton for it. Like, we're in that time. And if you've tapped out of wrestling within that time, you definitely don't know that.
The only way I can see anything else changes is AJ loses and almost shockingly destroys Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens, everybody is shocked because we haven't seen him do anything other than be a bodyguard to Shane McMahon at Raw Underground. Or AJ Styles catch him when he like is about to fall or some shit. But that's the only thing I could see with then The Miz coming through and going ahead and cashing in his Money in the Bank, which leads to a match at WrestleMania at the Royal Rumble, which will have The Miz go up against Drew McIntyre. Which leads me to the last match. And kind of like transitioning into what we're going to talk about today. One of the things we're going to talk about today, we have Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens has been for the last 2.5 weeks by Roman Reigns and or Jey Uso or both of them. He has been having some stellar talking smacks interactions with Paul Heyman, which have been interesting as well. Who do you have taking home the Universal Championship tonight?
Hey, yo, Kevin Owens is my guy, but Roman Reigns, man. Roman Reigns hasn't given me any reason why he should lose a match for the next year. Like, just keep it so real. Like, why should a guy acting like that lose a match or a title, period? Like, he really is acting like he runs the universe. Like, never has the phrase Universal Champion made more sense than it does right now.
If I didn't watch SmackDown on Friday, but it changed watching SmackDown. And I don't mind being wrong here because I agree with everything you're saying when it comes to Roman Reigns. But I don't mind being wrong here. I think Kevin Owens is going to win the title tonight, this Sunday, or at TLC. Because when they whooped his ass through all of the tables, ladders, and chairs, and he got up and sat on the chair and grabbed the mic, normally, during the go-home show, the loser wins, proceeding to them getting their ass whooped the next the pay-per-view night. And I don't see this as a Kevin Owens win. I see this as a Kevin Owens loss, but I'm not going anywhere lost. So here's my prediction. My prediction reads here. Kevin Owens is going to shockingly win tonight. It's going to be a big-ass upset. An upset similar to how Eddie Guerrero won.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
But they're going to wrestle again at the Royal Rumble. And that's when Jimmy is going to come back and Jimmy's going to cost Kevin Owens the Universal Championship. So I have one title change tonight because I can't see not one title being one world title not changing hands. And I picked Drew McIntyre to win unless it's a Money in the Bank cash, which I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I would like to see. If that were to happen, almost destroy Drew McIntyre. That being said, I have Roman Reigns losing tonight but regaining it at the Royal Rumble because Jimmy should be back by the Royal Rumble.
Wow. Well, it looks like I got to catch up on specifically SmackDown highlights.
Yeah, he got his ass all Friday, fam. But, okay. But to transition a bit, Kevin Owens has returned. However, I'm going to pivot just a little bit with that. Kevin Owens is a good face to me, but I don't think that he had a good face run in the WWE. His heel runs, I love. When he had the U.S. Championship, when he first came in, wrestling with John Cena. I said the Universal Championship, the U.S. Championship, all those things. I think Kevin Owens has been a dope heel. But his face run, you know, was just like, bring him back as a heel. But this heel run, I mean, this face run, this is not even tweener Kevin Owens' face run. This is, no, I'm a face, and I'm going up against the biggest guy in the company. And I'm never going to back down all of these things.
Okay. And my bad, you kind of glitched out, but I think I know where we're going with this because I did have a question for you.
Okay.
And my question about Kevin Owens being the face, particularly in this situation, like, is this just really an indictment against the other heels that just were not that great at being heels as, let's say, Roman Reigns is? Because we haven't really seen a strong heel trying to be a strong heel in a while. So speaking to just that alone, do you think Kevin Owens' face run is working out so well right now because nobody's been the level of heel that Roman Reigns has been in a minute?
Yes or no? Because Shane McMahon automatically gives you that heat. They automatically do it. And I know it's Shane, but it automatically gives you that. Like, for example, as Kevin Owens as a heel, you know, beats up Vince McMahon and gets mega heat on him. But when Shane is the antagonist and Kevin Owens is the protagonist, other than that pipe bomb, it just was like, ugh. Because because Kevin Owens to me came off as kind of CM Punkish.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Like whatever, every man.
But
like
this one.
No, my bad. I'm sorry. But
yeah, go ahead.
Isn't every great indie wrestler like a tweener? Like yeah. All the great indie wrestlers are like tweeners, like Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, fucking Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, like all of them, like they're kind of just like they're just anti-establishment wrestlers. Like that's just who they are.
It works for them. But with Kevin, this run right here, he's still the prize fighter. Like he's still he's still the fight Owens fight guy.
Mm-hmm.
His other face run in the WWE, he wasn't the fight Owens fight guy. He was the, hey man, let's try again. You gotta do it again. Like, yeah, with a little twing of CM Punk shit. This shit right here is still the prize fighter. It's still, yo, I'm fighting to feed my family. Remember, Kevin Owens came in the gate like, look, I only beat your ass, Sammy, because I need to be the champion because the champion gets the most money. Mm-hmm. That's how he came in the gate, fucking up his best friend. It ain't about you. It's about the check. This right here is, like, he ain't poor. Like, nobody came out the woodwork and said that Kevin Owens owes somebody a whole bunch of, like, he owes JBL a whole bunch of money. Look, it's me and my family. Fuck everybody else. But I love y'all. But I got to take care of my fam. That's it. That's all with Kevin Owens. It just so happens that the person that he's going up against is the biggest heel in the universe right now. Like, that's that's circumstantial.
Man, as I catch up on SmackDown, because I obviously when this was brewing, I was all in for Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, anything, even though I didn't want to see Stone Cold Kevin Steen or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I will admit the last time I watched when it was clear that okay, this is going to be a real contender for him, him being Roman Reigns, I said, cool, at least they're giving Kevin Owens the opportunity to turn the fuck up.
Right.
Because that's like and I think no matter what, now seeing it from this angle, whether he's heel or face, as long as you give somebody that Kevin Owens can really turn the fuck up on and not outshine to the point where like he has to be over or it's a wash, I think that's when you get the best out of him. But I think that's also what probably Vince would say would speak to the level of talent and how well they are in character mode.
And the other part of this is especially with one of the major topics that's happened in the WWE in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Characters are going to have ups and downs. You know, sometimes your character has to become a supporting actor in order for other people to become the leads. Mm-hmm. And I think with Kevin Owens, like part of, at least in my opinion, like, you know, because I am a Kevin Owens fan, I always want my man to be at the top of the card. But at the flip of this is, hey, sometimes you got to play the back. Sometimes you got to be Tito.
Yeah.
That don't mean, hey, Tito's still a Jackson.
Right.
You know, he's a very important member of the Jacksons.
Yeah, more important than Jackson.
Right. Very much, much more important than Jackson. But you got to play the back sometimes while people will send. And then as those people will send, if they do what they're supposed to do, then that leads to you being able to ascend back, wrestling them sometimes. Which leads me to the major thing that I wanted to get into today. One of the things that you didn't really hear about. They talked about it on the dirt sheets and things of that nature. Keith Lee, Otis, Omos, Daba, Kato, who was in Raw Underground, were among the superstars that Vince McMahon was told to go and center to work out, to train, to work with some of the trainers. Drew Gulak and Adam Pearce were two of the trainers that they had worked with in the Performance Center. This sent the internet crazy a bit. Well, some of the people on the internet crazy. We know how the internet don't necessarily like Otis. and you have Omos and Dabba Kato, who have not wrestled in the WWE ring yet. Yet Vince McMahon tells all of them to go to the Performance Center. Now, there have been a lot of wrestlers who've come out and said that this is a non-story. When you hear Vince McMahon telling Keith Lee, among these other wrestlers, Keith Lee and Otis, to go back to the Performance Center, y'all got some training to do. Y'all work with Drew Gulak and Adam Pearce. We need to fix is working in the WWE. What are your thoughts?
Great, because they're not allotted the same amount of opportunities as they would have had even in 2019. Plus, I mean, and for me as a person that does like Keith Lee and kind of called a lot of the shit for Otis in January, I think it's important because they're not ready to take major titles and hit the road as well as main event pay-per-views yet. And I know a lot of y'all are probably like really upset about that, but it's because you don't know shit. And that's not my fault. And it's not my problem. Like I mean, it's just not. So putting Keith Lee in a situation to where like he can get stronger in his boisterous character, I think is super important because there's enough throwback about him and there is so much. It's off the chart level revolutionary black wrestler in him that they got to get that out, because once he gets it, it's a fucking wrap. Like, we could be seeing Vader and The Rock in one fucking person to me. But that ain't there yet. Keith Lee to me could be Vader and The Rock. And I'm talking about WCW Vader and 1999 Rock. Like, he could be that. So, yeah, send his ass to developmental to get that out. And then let's talk. Otis needs it because he's in that odd space of being the greatest novelty character of all time. Like, Otis right now for me is the father or the god, the wrestling god of Eugene, Bastion Booger, Doink, Adam Bomb, like all the guys that were characters or like just there for shits, giggles, and laughs, and but that were supposed to be something. Like, he landed
music.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he landed into being the best of them because Mandy got him over. So yeah, so now that you know that you can get him over and get him in situations where people want to see him win, now you gotta do something else and not no blue collar shit. Don't give him the old Dusty Rhodes shit either. Like, don't do that. But give him something fucking else, because I believe that I believe that he could be a very important Intercontinental Champion of this era or U.S. Champion of this era. I'm still not catching world title, like main title, the guy vibes from him. But he could be a staple, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could get him the Bam Bam Bigelow with more accolades. You could get him there. And but that ain't gonna happen with being on SmackDown and Raw every week though. And alone, it's not gonna happen there.
I think this was a non-story / story. I think it was made a story because of the two people not named Otis and Keith Lee that went down. It's almost like if you and who probably has done well in school, don't get in trouble, get sent to the principal office at the same time, like two badass kids go. They're gonna be like, yo, what the fuck did he do to get lumped into them? When you ain't seen these two. And the only time we've seen really Dabba Kato wrestle is on Netflix, the main event, is Samson. Mm-hmm. Trey and Landon watch that all the time. It's the only time I seen Buddy Ass in the ring. other than like Raw Underground. I didn't see him in the ring at NXT. Haven't seen Omos in there. Just seen him fold his arms. He's a tall nigga though. One of the tallest
right.
I've seen.
Right, absolutely.
Especially in the wrestling ring. He's the tallest black wrestler I've seen. I think he's the tallest black wrestler I've ever seen. Unless somebody tells me somebody else, he's 7'3". He's the tallest black wrestler I've ever seen. That being said, yeah. I ain't never seen him clothesline nobody. I ain't never seen him right. chokeslam nobody. I ain't never seen him run the ropes. I ain't never seen him do anything. And you sent them to the Performance Center, which is not too far from where y'all at, along with Otis and Keith Lee, who are still on TV. That's right. the reason it becomes a story, because you lump them two in with two people we ain't never seen wrestle. But it's a non-story. We don't have house shows. Talked about a show how in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, the house shows, the pay-per-views, set up the house shows. So if Hulk Hogan wrestled Macho Man, and that means that the house shows is going to be littered with that. Sergeant Slaughter sets up the paper, the house shows that's going to be going forward. Because that's where the money was at. Mm-hmm. Now that it's switched, you know, it's the pay-per-views set up TV. And then the house shows, you just try shit out to see mm-hmm. if shit works. So, like, famously, they talked about, and it really stopped in the early 90s, actually, because one of the famous house show fuck-ups to me is when they said that they tried out Hulk and Ric Flair at those, and it didn't draw well, and people didn't take to the match, which led them to not put Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair at WrestleMania 8 for the championship, absolutely. Which that was supposed to be the title match.
Right.
Dumb as hell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. From my view.
Yeah. But we don't get it until both of them and WCW. WCW like, hey, we ain't fucking around.
Right, let's get right to it.
Matter of fact, we're not only going to get right to it, but Ric Flair, you're going to take a break. Lose at least. So if you don't have house shows, if you don't have shows that just trash it out, try mm-hmm. characters out, do shit, then what the fuck is the PC for in the first place?
Right.
Let's come ask on, that man. Question. That's the answer to this, but then turn it into a question. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is the PC for in the first place? They right. got all the fucking rings in the PC for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You all this equipment in the PC for a reason. I mean, I'll say this. Triple H may have been the smartest person in WWE history, because why he didn't predict the pandemic, nobody was like, oh, COVID's about to go fuck us up. Bye.
Right.
This is the exact reason why the PC exists. Mm-hmm. Like, when people get injured, where the fuck do they go? When they're about to when they're recovering, to test the shit out to see if they're back and ready, they go to the PC. Mm-hmm. The PC is all about growth and development. It's the whole reason why this shit exists. You have a whole bunch of these in the WWE right now because of the PC. Growth and development. I need to grow as an in-ring competitor. I need to grow my promos. I need to grow my in-ring work. I need to grow some of these moves. I need to test the move out. Can't do that on the road. And right. it looks like house shows are going to be done.
Right. For the foreseeable future. Like,
they're talking house shows might be done.
Oh, yeah, because they turned the profit and they were like, oh, well, shit, we doing less and made more? Yeah, so why do it at that point?
So why the fuck I'm going to spend all this money to go to El Paso mm-hmm. to do a match?
Right.
I just turned a mean profit. And this is the most profitable we've been in years, because ain't no overhead. House shows might be done, ladies and gentlemen. So if house shows are done, where do you go to get better? Where do you go to train and do certain things? This is also why there's no reason for you to treat NXT like it's a farm system. I think it makes it even more impactful for you to use Main Event as a farm system. It is more impactful for you to bring back shit like superstars to be more impactful. It is more important for you to use 205 Live for all the rest for a more impactful. Matter of fact, maybe you do bring back superstars and brand it as NXT. Because with the lack of house shows, now those NXT wrestlers who were getting the spots and shit on those shows to try things out and to work out characters and shit, now you work them out at NXT Superstars. Now you got NXT Superstars, you have Main Event, and you have 205 Live, which are not on network television. Those could be exclusive on the WWE Network, including NXT UK, which you're really just making exclusive, but that's more of a UK promotion. Then you have NXT. Then you have a Raw. And then you have SmackDown as your TV shows. But when Keith Lee wins the title and then loses it, goes straight up Raw, you're still treating it like a farm system. And I'm not saying that Keith Lee should still be in NXT. No. I think he did enough by winning that title. He did not have to run roughshod through NXT. He's an exception of the rule, what I'm talking about here. But if you have people like Johnny Wrestling, who Cam says is ugly, he ain't going nowhere. If you got Tommaso Ciampa, who's not trying to go nowhere, and you have others who are going back to NXT, this motherfucker brand. And then just make shows underneath it to use for the other wrestlers who are signed to NXT, who have signed developmental contracts, who need TV time, who the only TV time they're going to get is being jobbers. Develop a show that's a true developmental show. And while Main Event can be your developmental show for to work out the kinks for the people on the main roster. Like Jay, the MAGA nigga that was in the Forgotten Sons.
Karrion Kross.
No. He's the other MAGA nigga. Riker. Jason Riker.
Yeah.
But wait, shit. But he goes, they do the thing with Elias at Main Event first.
Yes.
People saw, I was like, oh, okay. Then they do it on Raw.
Right. The thing, and you know what, Bang? This is my problem with people that watch wrestling from only like one lens. Because, you know, the internet has allowed us to see behind the curtain in several different ways, right? There's too many wrestling fans that believe that once you just get to Raw, you ain't got to do shit else no more. Like, it's all cake. You ain't got to learn no new shit. You ain't got to do no new shit. When literally Randy Orton has spent the last 20 years proving to you that it is not the fucking case. Like, yo, I remember watching the house show for the Viper shit back in like 2008 or 9, like when they were getting rid of Legacy and they were really getting him into the, you know what, you about to face the, you about to heal the fuck out. But it flipped and he ended up being a face later on. But yeah, you know what I'm saying, the Apex Predator, the Viper, like, even though that might sound the same to y'all, like, the house shows is where he developed that shit. And then all of a sudden, he popped up on the screen, Michael Cole is right away, oh my God, the Apex Predator. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, because they know the shit is working. Going to developmental is literally what it says. You're developing something. Like, why is it a bad thing to develop? Like, why? We want women to develop all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you want your account to develop into something like frugal, so you have a savings account. Like, there's no aspect in life where development is a bad thing. So why the fuck is everybody acting like sending a wrestler that you already are sold on, that you already believe in, getting fucking better?
I thought that was the whole point. I said that, hey, she was cooking. When y'all watch this match, I'm like, why is he eating? Because Cam was cooking. The whole fucking point. Yeah. Remember in Indianapolis, we went to that house show, and the little kid was like, Senka! Yeah. He didn't take you on TV yet.
Yep. Like that did not happen on that episode of Raw.
Yes. He didn't debut yet. And we was like, who the fuck is this little kid? And why is he yelling Sin Cara?
Right.
We just seen the little motherfucker, little Mexican dude coming out looking like Ultimo Dragon.
Yep.
With no belt.
Right.
Come through and flip and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, and cool.
And the kids went up.
Yes. Hey. It's Boo! What the fuck's going on? Oh, shit. What's his name? Sin Cara. Sin Cara! Like...
Oh, shit.
That's what that shows for and the sale merch. Now, with that being said, like, well, no, let me rewind that even further. Yokozuna did a dark match as Kokina. And remember, I said it on the show, during the Yokozuna episode and the AWA episode, the Head Shrinkers debuted, and Vince McMahon and company were on Superstars like, yo, it's an even bigger one of these Samoans coming. He's big as shit. Like 500 pounds big. He never showed up. Because at a dark match, Kokina wrestled, which you can see on the WWE Network, if you don't believe me. Then they said, nah, fuck this shit, fam. We're not putting in with those Samoans. We're going to make this Samoan Japanese. We're going to bring in Mr. Fuji, and we're going to call him Yokozuna. And they developed that shit. Then next thing you know, Superstars, the debut of Yokozuna. Like, what? This big ass nigga,
right? And then, and once that developed, they did the matches, then they throw him right into the Royal Rumble. You watch him beat ass for about 20 minutes, and it all makes fucking sense.
And throw out the Macho Man to put a bow on that bitch,
yes. Like, fam, like, y'all don't even get how much developmental shit y'all was watching back in the day. Literally not.
WWE Superstar. That's why Hulk Hogan was on a handful of episodes of WWE Superstar. He didn't need to be there.
Right.
He didn't need to wrestle Iron Mike Sharp for the world championship. He didn't.
Right.
And have to get that fake world championship. No, Hulk Hogan. First time on Superstars versus Iron Mike Sharp. Like, nah. We don't need that, fam. We don't need that.
At all.
No, Hulk Hogan. Matter of fact, what Hulk Hogan's going to do, he's going to talk to y'all ass so we can sell these tickets.
Word.
Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter. At Providence, Rhode Island, here's Hulk Hogan to tell you what's going to happen in this exclusive steel cage match. Well, let me tell you something, brother. That's the only time you're going to hear Hulk Hogan see Hulk Hogan on motherfucking Super
Fact.
Get his ass whooped on the front of the left show.
Yeah, there's definitely more times of Hogan being attacked on the Brother Love Show than it is him wrestling for the title on Superstar.
Right, look at it. Hulk Hogan has gotten his ass more times, probably, on a television show within the show than he did wrestle with Matt. Fam, the only match I remember Hulk Hogan wrestling on Superstars is him versus Dino Bravo.
Yeah, hey. Straight up.
And I don't even think he was a champ.
That just shows you how much they believed in Dino, ladies and gentlemen. Right. That's all that.
Right. It was also to test out Dino, too. Like, all right, let's see what we can do. Oh, yeah, that's not going to work.
Right.
We're going to end this feud after he beats Earthquake. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, we've seen more feuds develop mid-card feuds develop on superstars than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan shit happened on Saturday night's main event in front of the bright lights.
Yeah.
He wasn't about to kick off a major feud for a title on little superstars.
Right. Yeah, thanks.
You get the recap. Brother Love shit happened on superstars. I think it happened on superstars. No? Or did we see the recap?
Right.
No, superstars. No. Let me let you know something, brother. Brother Love, you're supposed to tell your people to say your prayers, train to take your vitamins. A foolish pass, brother. Like, then Earthquake come through, axe handle, and give him some squashes. And then next thing you know, it's a letter writing campaign to Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan is hurt, but he needs your prayers. Send a letter to P.O. Box, and we're going to get it to Hulk Hogan. And then Hulk Hogan wrestled at SummerSlam. And what happened that same night? The Ultimate Warrior and Ravishing Rick Rude. You ain't see the Ultimate Warrior, Ravishing Rick Rude feud develop on Superstars.
Right.
In fact, I don't even know how that feud took place. I guess what happened is, last year we beat your ass for the, what's the name? What? Oh, go ahead.
I think it was literally because the Ravisher Rick Rude Ultimate Warrior beef started because Ravisher Rick Rude said he had the best body in the WWF. I really believe that's why. I think it started on there.
For the world title. That feud started. He had the best, that he was the strongest man and all that stuff, and they challenged the Ultimate Warrior, but it was a ruse to whoop his ass and try to take the Intercontinental Championship, which they did. But then it happened like at Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. No, it happened at SummerSlam.
Some of the best Heenan family moments are at SummerSlams for sure.
Yeah, but that feud just was like, hey, man, Ultimate Warrior, we beat you at last year's SummerSlam, and we're going to do it again. And then it was like it's a cage match. And it was a cage match because the only reason why Ravishing Rick Rude won is because he held down the Ultimate Warrior's leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was no like lead up to that. Matter of fact, the lead up was Ravishing Rick Rude running on the beach and his hair was cut. So it's like, oh shit, Ravishing Rick Rude got a haircut, fam. I don't remember Ravishing Rick Rude beating up the Ultimate Warrior and be like, yeah. the WCW Phantom. That's what happened. Like it was almost like we give you a shot at the title and then you bounce. Man. So that's what used to happen, and that's what some of us old folks are used to.
Mm-hmm.
Roberts and Ravishing Rick Rude beef we saw on Superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember seeing it kick off anywhere else but that. So yeah, right. So I mean, it is what it is at that point. What people have to understand, like going back to Keith Lee is, hey, we gonna take you back. Hey, come back to the PC. We gonna do some new shit. Because I honestly believe that Keith Lee is being prepped to win a Royal Rumble. And if some of the rumors we've seen so far is correct, they got Keith Lee possibly being in a triple threat match with Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar, which I don't necessarily need to see Brock Lesnar in the WWE ring again. But shit, if it's all three of them in the ring, I'm with it. That shit. Yeah, I'm with that.
Right.
No. It'd be interesting to see how Paul Heyman shit, but yeah, I believe, and I'm still sticking to it, this is the power rankings. Another week of the power rankings. I think Keith Lee is winning the Royal Rumble until I see something different. So if he's being prepped, if I believe he's being prepped to become a title challenger at WrestleMania, you can't come up in there doing the same shit. Right. But TV is not the place. TV ain't the place to try those out. This version of TV ain't the place. Raw is not the place to try this shit out. Mm-hmm. We need to do this at the PC.
Mm-hmm. Question for you. So Keith Lee, right? That's being, and I think we were both in the realm of him being a Royal Rumble possibility as far as the winners go, right? Should we feel a way if he gets the Royal Rumble win before Big E?
No.
Okay.
And here's why. And here's why, and I'm glad that you said that. The main reason why is because of what I said earlier about Kevin Owens. You go through ebbs and flows as a wrestler, mm-hmm. especially if you've been in the E long enough. Mm-hmm. You're going to reach your peaks. You're going to reach some dull moments. And I think, mm-hmm. especially as a black wrestler, see, this is where black wrestlers are at a disadvantage, right?
Okay.
Big E is the second NXT. He defeated Shield Seth Rollins to become this champion. So people don't think about that. He beat Shield Seth Rollins. He goes up, and then he's paired with Dolph Ziggler. So he's a hand, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then he, I think it was Ezekiel Jackson that he beat for the championship. But I don't believe he found his character yet, and they put the belt on. And it did him a disservice. Mm. He loses it to Wade Barrett, and now he's just a hand or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's no place for him. That happens a lot to black wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not the needle. They're the haystack. You're going to see all of the hay, but the needle you don't see. It's hard to find. It's easy to see the black guys when they are put in a certain thing. That's why I do understand what people say about Keith Lee and how Keith Lee this and Keith that he's not the needle. So it's easy to see if something goes up with him as opposed to anybody else. Mm-hmm. But with Big E, it was just a lot that happened to the point where he thought he was going to get Future Endeavor.
Yeah, true. Right.
But New Day was so good as a trio, he ain't have to because ain't no tag team going to win the Royal Rumble. It's like,
right.
Could PSA's been a world champion with his charisma and his style? Yeah, he could have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But then that would break up the Freebirds.
Right, yeah.
Because the Freebirds
ain't going to get no love.
Keith Lee is his own man. And they came in similar situations, probably came up too fast, too. But I don't think Keith Lee is going to fall into the same trap that Big E fell into. Because I think he's all around a better wrestler, too. Yeah, and he's older coming in. He's older coming in, too. Yeah. Keith Lee's 36. Big E is 36. He's like 33 or 34. He's in his early to mid-30s. If Keith Lee comes in, when Big E came in his mid-20s, it's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also to your point, Keith Lee is also sure of who he wants to be as a solo competitor, where Big E is just Big E without Xavier and Kofi right now.
And don't get me wrong, I like him getting put over on NXT, on Talking Smack with Paul Heyman. Paul mm-hmm. Heyman said some shit the other day, which I thought it was like surreal ass shit.
Yeah.
He said that, paraphrase that, the New Day is just a footnote in his career. You don't hear when you see the shit say Roman Reigns. And I think Big E has been with the where it's back to the it's almost back to square one about how you feel about being away from the homies. I think now because they've seen the charisma, they've seen the charisma of Big E, they've seen what he can do. They believe in him now. Where they might not have after the initial Intercontinental title run, where he's going to beat Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm actually shocked that I would not be shocked if this is a pre-show match tonight or he wins it at the Royal Rumble. But he's going to be the Intercontinental Champion soon. Whereas Keith Lee at the Survivor Series last year, and a lot of people at NXT are he goes up against Roman Reigns and he destroyed and he's put on the pedestal so much that Roman Reigns basically gives him the dap, which signifies, hey, you're going to be something. Keep it up. Same thing that they did with Bianca Belair. It's just not going to happen on our timeline. It's going to happen on the E's timeline. You know, Bianca Belair lost to Becky Bailey. Look at me. She lost Bailey back down. I know there were some people, oh, why did she lose and all that stuff? No, it's the rub that counts here. It's not the win or the loss. It's the rub, period. And I think it's going to work out for all three wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I am, and I'm on board. I agree with you. You know what? Just more signs of this instant gratification microwave era. Like, we want people to get moved up, get to the main event, and win the title in like 8 months. And honestly, that's going to kill the memory. That's going to kill the moment. That's just going to kill the greatest possible just run for all of these specifically Black superstars. And I totally get it because, you know, people get injured, career ending injuries. Sometimes people die, people get old as shit and got to retire. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but at the same time, man, Jadakiss told us, you got to cook the bird slow, man. You got to cook the fucking bird slow. And, And it is a disservice to, since the main topic is Keith Lee, it is a disservice to just throw him out there like he's ready to, you know, get on the run that we know he's going to get. I don't know why. I mean, like, and granted, I'm just not as pessimist as the majority of the wrestling world. Fam, the fact that they are even talking about like, whoa, hold on, not yet, big man, not yet. We got to get you over here. Like, y'all should be elated at that because everybody else get the John Laurinaitis paragraph. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want the John Laurinaitis paragraph. You rather have him in developmental because that means like, yo, we about to bring this back. Like, if you fuck with him now, like, wait till you see what we do. It's just like when some niggas that get borderline creeperish or give you borderline pedo vibes when they see the girl that's like 14 years old. Man, nigga, when she hit 21, that bitch gonna be bad in the motherfucker. Like, it's the same type of shit. It's just not as weird. You feel right. What I'm saying?
It's not pedo-ish.
Yeah,
you should be happy that a nigga said, hey, come, let's reel some things in and fix some things. Because I'm not sure that shit happened for some of these other wrestlers. So, which leads to my next thing right here. Seems to be an issue on Raw. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the wrestlers. I don't know if it's because other things happen on Monday. I can't remember the number. Not going to try to look for it because you will understand why as I go. But their ratings were the lowest ever. Apparently. So without going into a lot of shit, because it's a lot of things that we can go to, what do you believe is wrong with Raw?
Man, honestly, I believe what's wrong with Raw, unfortunately, is trying to find the balance to make it look like your champion has real competition. The backlash to beating Brock Lesnar's ass and then staying on TV is that now nobody should whoop your ass. So, yeah, it looks stupid for AJ Styles to to really be like a hand for Drew McIntyre. Because even the AJ Styles-Brock Lesnar match at Survivor Series, was that 3 years ago? 2 years ago, even that was like, okay. I mean, you can't totally punk AJ, but come on, you know what I'm saying? You know what it is.
And the then still
you
like
got that. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, then you have just a lot of, like, you have so uncertainty because, like, I'm convinced now that Drew McIntyre isn't dominating because he's popular. He's dominating because it's the right thing to do. You know, that's why I really wasn't on board with Randy Orton dropping the title like that, because at least we're in a position where the lineage and the tenure of Randy Orton has showed very visible but now realistic highs and lows, because Randy Orton has molds. And like even the fact that wrestlers can say in casual conversation on air or on a Talking Smack or on a Raw talk that, yo, man, when Randy Orton get into his mold, you can't fuck with him. So, like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, yo, like, when he want to be here and when he's checked in, like, it's a go. So even that alone, you can explain why he might drop a match or put over, like, somebody to the degree of, like, you know, Sheamus or a Keith Lee or Miz and Morrison or something like that. Drew McIntyre, his whole story from a WWE angle is, yo, I was the kid that fucked up, but now I'm back, and now they put me in the top spot by taking out the boss's main attraction.
Right.
I mean, what can you do beyond that now? Like, I mean, because for real, and I think, and you know what? Hashtag bang be knowing, because I think you talked about this all the way back in fucking April. You were like, who the fuck is he supposed to wrestle now that he beat Brock Lesnar? Like, and I think it's the after effects of that, because who do we want to see him face now that he beat Brock Lesnar?
And I like Drew McIntyre. I remember when when y'all was pissed at me, because I was like, nah. Like, I had to come up. Well, y'all was like, what the fuck, Drew McIntyre, Luke? And then I came around, I said this. Like, yeah, I get it. But I'm sorry, fam. When Drew McIntyre talks, fam, don't shit. It's like watching paint dry. It's like listening to paint dry to me. He, to me, like, keep the buck. Roman Reigns with this character don't need Paul Heyman.
He don't. Right.
Drew fucking McIntyre.
Hey.
Because with Drew McIntyre, hey, you know, when I was just a lad in Scotland, I dreamed about being. And look at me now. I'm the champ. And I'll take on all comers. Like, he's somebody that I would rather see fight and fuck something up than had to hear Sheamus talk.
Yeah.
And that's saying something, because I don't like hearing Sheamus talk. And it's not because they're Scottish. I'm not racist against Scottish wrestlers. Like, you know, Cam is.
No, hey, look, I already watched this off on Twitter and on the show. You can't use that anymore. That bullet is out your chamber.
because matter of fact, I'm gonna throw something out. You know who needs to be their manager? Lord Steven Regal. William Regal.
Man.
Bring him. He's been the NXT general manager for years now. Bring his ass back up. Have him get on his. Remember when Steven Regal came? Well, William Regal, excuse me. I just showing my age and how I remember William Regal. He turned the lights off on your end. And to this day, I believe he was supposed to be Triple H for the world championship, but he did a drug and he was suspended for 60 days, which fucked that all up. That is my favorite William Regal, because I was like, he don't care. He had won the King of the Ring and shit.
Yeah,
he ain't give a fuck. That's the person that needs his day, man. That's what he needs. I don't want to hear him talk. I don't want to hear, like, especially when I believe he's a better heel than he is a face. But if we're going to do it, and if we're going to make him heel, he needs a heel factory. And you can't have, you can't beat Brock Lesnar and then go up against Dolph Ziggler for the championship.
Right. Yeah.
Like, Seth Rollins was in a whole ass feud with a family we ain't give a fuck about. Like, look at his matches. Like, look at some, like, it, when we thought we was about to get him and Keith Lee, it wasn't just because Keith Lee is black we was excited. It's like, oh, shit, right, this nigga's big. This is like knockdown, drag out. People were excited about Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Like you said, it's nothing against AJ Styles, but that's part of the reason why I'm like, man, the big black dude got to help him in order for me to even care.
Right.
To believe, or even though it's AJ Styles, the best fucking wrestler in the world. Or, and it's smaller than him. Or I even said here that the Undisputed Era needs to go to Raw and do the same thing they did when he won the NXT Championship and fuck his ass up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still at the same time, he's so big and so massive. This ain't Hulk Hogan. Well, Hulk Hogan was like, when Hulk Hogan first won the title, right? Well, the big show. They had him go up against WrestleMania 2. They had him go up against King Kong Bundy in a squash, basically. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania 3 is Andre the Giant. WrestleMania 4 is a tournament. WrestleMania 5 is Macho Man. I said this on the show before. Nigga, you thought Macho Man was the same size as Hulk Hogan. He's not.
Right.
But because of how big the character of Macho Man was, it's like, ah, okay, cool. Bet is Macho Man. WrestleMania 6, Ultimate Warrior. Same, like, they're big. WrestleMania 7. WrestleMania 7 was Sergeant Slaughter. Big. Going up against small niggas. Or people that are not physical. And somebody might say Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman became unbelievable when he was just getting his ass beat by everybody so quick. When Brock Lesnar beat that man in less than like 2 minutes, like they were better off doing what I thought they was gonna do and having him and Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, go up against each other.
Yeah.
When they did the draft. But they didn't. And then what's probably going to happen is probably not gonna happen tonight. It might do. Mm-hmm. He's suffering from the writing team and the people on that roster. Mm-hmm. Now, unless I'm missing something, let me know. But it's just keep leaving.
As I sit here and process all this, I do want to say my thought before I forget it. This is why a lot of the OGs and even Vince McMahon.
Apologize before you process that. I want to apologize. Okay. The only person is Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. But look what they got Bobby Lashley with, like, because if you know Hurt Business, Drew McIntyre, like, if you want to tell me who's over more right now, it's them. like no questions asked. Like Bobby Lashley is way more over than Drew McIntyre. And this is just a callback, like the ratings and all of that. This is just making the old adage true and why Vince is going fucking nowhere for the most part is because your champ is literally your flagship. He's the guy that puts the butts in the seats. He's the guy that gets the ticket prices up. I mean, even though there's no tickets right now, but what we're seeing with the low ratings, with Drew McIntyre being the champion, no matter how much we like him, it's just proof that we don't really love them like that. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, there is no overinvestment in Drew McIntyre. Like, I don't want one of his t-shirts. I don't see kids trying to maybe sound like him or do a catchphrase or anything like that. Like, you watch it that one time and it's a wrap. John Morrison is actually making the most out of all of Drew McIntyre being the champ more than any fucking body. Hey, yo, John Morrison has been a fucking riot the last few weeks.
And you know what's crazy with you saying that? And this is why I'm like, I get people's I get people's qualms about Raw.
Mm-hmm.
John Morrison and Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're laughing at John Morrison, but we're in a group. He's in a group with a person with the money in the bank that we ain't really taking seriously. Man. So why are we going to take John Morrison serious?
Right.
And Bobby Lashley had a pretty forgettable feud with Drew McIntyre. Y'all didn't invest in.
Nope. And you know what? Probably the reason why they couldn't invest is because really, realistically, both of them could and probably should beat Drew McIntyre. Only because there's no story behind his run besides he fucked up his first opportunity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, ladies and gentlemen, talking about growth and development and why people got to go to developmental, like the character that Drew McIntyre is, whether he's heel or face, I do believe it works. But I think you're now seeing the level at which it works since he's now the champ and the money look funny.
Yep. Who was his U.S. Championship challenges?
Like real shit, Bobby Lashley could just like if for some reason they lose tonight, he could be like, "Hey, yo, fam, hold this down."
Well, this is U.S. Championship challenges, ladies and gentlemen. At this point, after seeing him and Keith Lee wrestle, you might as well put them in a championship match against each other.
Facts.
But who is this U.S. Championship challengers? Like who? Who?
Right. Hey, it might be him next week after the lose.
Yeah. When the last time he defended that bitch?
Yeah.
Like who? Like we've seen Bobby Lashley defend than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Your mid-card championship is around somebody who is a top talent, but you ain't doing shit with. But then when you look at the roster, like other than Keith Lee, let's remove Keith Lee from the equation. Like let's fuck Keith Lee. Matter of fact, they sent Keith Lee down to NXT. Fuck him.
Okay.
Somebody tweet me at JRBang. Tweet Kent from.
Yes.
Hashtag FBC pod or underneath the Insta or tag us in Instagram with the picture. Something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who? DM us. Who? Other than Keith Lee is a challenger is a worthy challenger to Bobby Lashley. Matter of fact, let's go to the Raw roster, man. Let's go to the Raw roster. Oh, boy. This is fucked up. Not thinking about this shit. Because this ain't his fault. This is the draft's fault. Alright, Raw roster. Oh, hold on. I want to go to the motherfucking real WWE shit. What the fuck, man? Okay, like let's look at this shit, man. The way that they treat John Morrison, I don't think he's one. So let's go. Alright, Raw roster. Okay. All right, Ricochet.
We know that story.
All right. Miz or John Morrison?
No. Sorry.
Angel Garza?
You know what? I think that might have been a play, but I don't know what's happened with him since Zelina Vega wanted to be on Twitch more.
Or OnlyFans. Humberto Carrillo?
Same deal. Hey, yo, the Mexican-American Challenge was wild earlier this year. I don't think y'all remember.
It was. What about Tucker?
No, shockingly, no. Like, hey, but you know what? Maybe that's another developmental piece that people just ain't talking about.
What about Braun Strowman?
Supposed to be. But supposed to be don't count.
Now, my pick here in me, to me, upside. Like, well, really, should the title should be on the line tonight against this person, Matt Riddle.
Okay. Facts, I'm with you. Matter of fact, that is your U.S. champion right there, honestly. Like, bro, I run America, bro. Like, the fuck? Like, bro, I fucking run America, Matt Riddle, dude. You know?
Matter of fact, I'll say this. Matt Riddle should win. If they put this on the show, Matt Riddle should win, be the U.S. champion tonight.
Right.
He should win tonight. Jeff Hardy.
No. I hate to feel this way about Jeff Hardy in this space and time too, by the way. I really do. Like, Jeff Hardy was the fucking man to me till about 2007. Now I think they just overuse and misuse Jeff Hardy at the same damn time, if that makes sense.
Any of the men of Retribution?
Hell no, they all trash. Fuck them niggas.
Elias.
Should be. Shit, matter of fact, Bobby Lashley shouldn't even have the title because he should be on his third run with it.
Sheamus.
No. Nobody wants to see that.
Especially when I believe it's going to be Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
R-Truth.
Oh, no. No wonder my tablet glitched. I wasn't supposed to hear that shit. That's respect to R-Truth, though.
I ain't gonna name no more names. That's pretty much the names. Anybody else is people that we rarely see, or they wrestling R-Truth for the 24/7 championship.
Yeah, no need to bring up Akira Tozawa next, because we know what that's gonna be.
Yeah, no need to bring up, and he actually was the next. But see, that's the issue, fam. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. If you go to SmackDown, and I have a theory on this. Well, first, if you go to SmackDown, you have Roman Reigns and challengers for Roman Reigns. Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, they turned Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
For the Intercontinental Championship. Oh, Daniel Bryan. But then go to the flip. Shit, Daniel Bryan could compete for the Intercontinental Championship along with Apollo Crews and Big E. We didn't even mention the tag team championships. But you could put some shit together for that. The women's championship. Hey, Asuka's not even defending that motherfucker. She's trying to beat two women to win the tag team belts.
Right.
On SmackDown, Sasha, Bayley, Bianca Belair, for the tag team championships, you got a good balance going on between the Street Profits and Ziggler and Rue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's they're two. They, my theory is this: USA Network is mad at and the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are mad at them both because Fox came through with the $1 billion bag. So since they have the $1 billion bag, they want all of the stars and the matchups to be over there. They don't really give a fuck about what's on the US. So they like, yo, we need all of these people over here. Bring them over here. Bring them over here. Bring them over here. So while Raw used to be the A show, the $1 billion bag now deems that SmackDown is the A show.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
absolutely,
they're with all of the talent. That's why it's, hey man, Keith Lee's ready. Bring him up the Raw. That's why. Because shit, we let stars on the Raw. Since it's 3 hours, I'm not gonna sit there and watch 3 hours of that shit. Why?
Yeah.
Like Seth, they move Seth Rollins over there. They moved Seth Rollins over to SmackDown too.
Yeah.
So what the fuck you think he's when after maternity leave? Could it be over here?
Hey, and all of what you said is why, like, Raw ain't got till 2023 to get everybody in position. Like, they gotta figure some shit out by Fastlane. Like, man, you better figure the fuck out, Joe.
Imagine this. Seth Rollins come back. Big E's the championship. Now you have an Intercontinental Championship, which is Big E versus Seth Rollins. The first two NXT champions. The fucking Raw and see Matt Riddle versus.
I mean, hey, it'll probably be Humberto Carrillo. You know what I'm saying?
That silence was enough. For the U.S. Championship, Matt Riddle versus R-Truth.
Like, yo. Like, nah.
They got to. Hey, and I think. And that was a report that came out that said the U.S. that these ratings, and they want Raw to become more. They want Raw to become. They want that PG shit to go away. They want it to be a little bit more dark and violent.
Wow. Okay.
I hate to say
You know what?
But before you go, I hate what I'm about to say. Yeah. But I think the USA Network sees them using the word shit on AEW. And they like, hey, bring that shit word over here, ladies and gentlemen. bring that shit over here. They bleed too? Oh, no, you gotta bring that shit over here. Because Cody is dripping blood. We saw, I'm USA Network chairman. Hey, Vince. It's Ted here. It's Ted Johnson. I was watching that AEW shit you told me not to watch. They were shit. And not only that, I was watching a match between Cody Rhodes and remember the Luke Harper guy you used to have? Yeah, that. And they had a dog collar match. And Cody Rhodes was bleeding like a stuffed pig. It's like, why don't we bleed anymore? And can we bring a dog collar match over here? I know you just did a strap match over on NXT, but I don't know who Dexter Lumis is and Cameron Grimes. Like, didn't Ric Flair used to bleed all the time? Can AJ Styles bleed? Just get back to me. AEW kind of fucked it up for the WWE. Like, yo, they saying shit and bleeding over there.
Yeah, hey. And you know what? I hate to make Raw sound like it has to be lowbrow, but they got the elements to succeed at that. You know what I'm saying? With Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, The Fiend, the Dabber Kato, if he's still over there. Like, they do have the people that can just cuss and hurt people really bad, and that's why you should tune in. So yeah, like the PG tag don't even work for the roster. Like, what do people really want to see? They want to see Braun Strowman say, "You're going to get these fucking hands." Or he's like, "Get these hands, bitch." And then proceed to throw somebody through one of the damn Thunderdome screens. Like, that's what people want to see. They don't want to just see him do the Jake the Snake DDT calling and then run around and shoulder block people. Like, no, nah, man, let's have somebody get violent. Tear the fucking Titantron down or something, like. And be like, yeah, fucker. And you gotta like bleep it. That's what they roster should do. Honestly, Raw should be the human demolition derby until they got somebody that's really over because people love them and they can wrestle.
So I want to save this for the next episode because I know we're wrapping up here. The WWE reportedly told USA Network the Royal Rumble is the reset. So they're gonna reset a lot of things. For the Royal Rumble. Now, it's funny that that's the word because the reset was supposed to be the draft. So next episode, I want to specifically go through a reset. I don't want to do a draft because they already done that. But I do want to talk about next week based off of the rosters that we have on both brands. Mm-hmm. Well, all three brands. I'm lumping NXT in this too. To take us just a little bit of homework, you know? What feuds would you make for 2022? 2021, excuse me. I don't want to go too far. based off of the roster each three had.
Okay.
What are the you would create for 2021?
Cool.
Bet. But I want to save that next because I think that'll be a little bit longer. But no, but that's it, man. Yeah. We went through the TLC joints and we gave niggas flowers a little bit. I think it's good. So do you got any guarantees?
Man, you know what? I'm so out of the loop on wrestling. I probably am ill-equipped to give a guarantee based on what we've seen. So let me give a guarantee show prediction for us. We will have the illest 50 greatest wrestlers of all times list in the history of motherfuckers doing the 50 greatest all-time wrestler list. That is a fact. Book it. Fucking book it right
that
now.
That might be the name of the 50 greatest wrestlers, the best 50 greatest wrestlers list out of all of the motherfucking 50 greatest wrestler lists of all time.
Yeah. Why not?
Like I've been on my old wrestling shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's some people moving down the list.
Yeah.
And I'm moving up. I'm talking about I've been watching WCCW.
Oh wow. Oh yeah, you're really going in.
And you this is my favorites. This is my favorite. So when I put insert wrestler here is my favorite wrestler, and y'all motherfucker tell me I'm wrong. Look, I will put you in a sharpshooter. Christine did Rick Rude. This is my list. Fuck your list. Only other list I care about is my co-host list.
Right.
But that's
and vice versa. Indeed.
That's what they need on Raw. That's exactly what they need on Raw right now. They need somebody to say motherfucker, just like motherfucker.
Right. Come on, come on, Tom Phillips. Save the show, man.
There we go, man. So, hey, man, you know what to do. It's that time.
All right, man. So, listen, we thank and appreciate you all for tuning into the show this week and every single week. Make sure you tell a friend and a couple enemies and check the archives if you think that we don't really talk this shit for real. And until next time, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Camp, bang, we are out.